Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
No kidding.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Exactly. It makes you wonder, why do we do the things we do if everything is such a fight? Because we love it. Thank you, John David Wells, the big voice guy for the What's Your Problem podcast, coming to you live. Well, when you hear this, not live, live right now as we do it. From the Big.HQ in Spring Hill, check us out at Big.Lighting.com, Big.Electrical.com. If you have electrical problems, we have electrical solutions. Big.Lighting also, we do LED conversions for all sorts of businesses. And we are the proud home of the all-new Octave Lighting. Go to OctaveLighting.com. How many more .coms can I mention? Oh, don't challenge me. What's Your Problem is a podcast about local Middle Tennessee business owners, and sometimes beyond. Sometimes we'll have somebody from California, God forbid. They're all moving here. And we talk about their problems. If you come into the studio and tell me you don't have any problems, I'm going to call bull. Because somebody, at any given time, if you own a business or are a professional, it's always something. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. See, I told you I had another .com. Always up my sleeve. And today, we've got a prized treasure of the Spring Hill area. He is out there rigorously determined. I come up with random words. Determinated. Determined to make sure that Spring Hill has got their caffeine fix. And he's a local. He's not one of these chains that rhyme with, Barstux and, these other types of companies. My new friend, Mr. Josh Merrill. Sir, how are you doing today?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah, thank you.
Coming in from Legacy Coffee.
That's right.
You are very well known around the town. I know that. I've seen you on a lot of different Facebook videos. You've done lives before. I think I was actually there. We got, a food truck?
Mm-hmm.
And you were out there doing stuff with them last summer, the summer before, right?
Yeah, BB's Kitchen, I think is what
that's
it was.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you were doing all sorts of lives with, one of your employees.
Yep. I mean, you got to be kind of involved in the internets and all of the functions there. So
it's just one more thing. Constantly, it's like a whole job in and of itself, right?
All the .coms, yeah.
So, man, every show we start off with what we call the Random Five, thanks to Miss Jen over there. She came up with the name. Inspired by Marty Ray Project Chats. Marty Ray, that's for you. He's got the Fast Five. He was on our show. We did the Fast Five. And I said, ooh, that's a good idea. I'm going to steal it. But we stole it and reinvented it. Now it's ours. So tough beans, Marty. Random questions. This is a random five questions.
Fabulous.
Truly random. Have I mentioned that they're random? I have. I'll answer that for you. That's not one of the questions. Have I mentioned that they're random? That's not one of the questions, Josh. Are you ready for the first question?
I think we're ready, yeah.
You've been ready?
I've been ready.
This is earth-shattering. First question, what in life is truly objective and not subjective?
Objective and not subjective. Your attitude.
Now, I'm going to say is good and evil. I would answer good and evil.
Okay.
Right?
I thought this was about me.
It is about you.
Okay.
But I mean, that's how I would answer it. First thing that came to my mind was that. But hey, it's not about me. It's about you. Next question. Let me get it loaded up here. Do you always have to have the latest phone?
No. Absolutely not. I do not.
About how long does it take you to get the latest and greatest gadget?
Oh, I'm not. That's not me.
That's not one of the questions.
No.
I'm just curious.
But my wife usually is the one that says, you need to get a new phone.
Right.
So whenever it's cracked beyond what I can recognize on the screen.
When the hinge is kind of gone out and the flip phone.
I dropped mine in a latte and I'm still trying to use it. So, it's still working well. So.
That's because you like it a latte.
That's right.
I can't really hear the worm shot over that. Okay. What was that? Question 4-2, right? All right, going on to question 3. If you had to replace your hands with objects already in your house, what would you replace your hands with?
Objects already in my house.
I can think of a few things.
Objects, man. I mean, there's scissors, there's chopsticks. Objects. A good set of tongs, probably.
Yeah.
Rubber tongs. Yeah, like the rubber tip tongs.
You'd have to have some sort of tongs, for sure. All right, question number four. Where is the best place to take a date?
The best place to take a date. Right now, probably downtown Columbia.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like mid-spring-ish, because you can walk the Riverwalk. There's businesses, there's ice cream, there's wine, there's, you know, Asgard, there's breweries, there's all kinds of
good stuff.
Romantic elements. It depends on how creative and how, you know, which.
Columbia has had quite the renaissance in the past 5 years.
It's been fun.
Question number five. What is the most physically painful thing you've ever experienced?
Probably flipping on my road bike. Well, when I lived in Park City, Utah, I went to the grocery store and I would usually put my groceries in my backpack, but I didn't bring my backpack, so I thought I could just put them on my handlebars and took off towards my house and towards my apartment, and the bag started swerving back and forth and caught the front tire, flipped over, and it was absolutely horrible. I called my brother and he just laughed because I was in
excruciating, brothers too.
So I was in excruciating pain. But
well, there you have it. The random five brought to you by no one. Because that is an available feature to sponsor here on the What's Your Problem podcast. Very inexpensive. Josh, do you want to sponsor the... I'll just put you on the spot right now.
On coffee payments? Hey, yeah. We can talk about that.
Yeah, we can totally talk about that. So, man, you are not from around here. You came from... You were at one time in Colorado, apparently.
Utah. But Utah. Yeah.
Colorado, Utah. They're all the same, right?
Same color rocks, but yeah.
So...
Very, very different run.
How long have you been here?
26 years. So for all intents and purposes, I've grew up here. Yeah. Spring Hill since I was six.
Oh yeah.
So I've been in Spring Hill for 26
okay. Yeah.
Years.
You're easily a native. So getting into all of this, what was the story? Where'd you go to college or anything?
No, I was homeschooled K through 12, and part of my family's idea was to set my brother and I up with a business initially.
Right.
So about 14 years ago, what's currently the Jack of Hearts building, my parents and I, we all talked about starting a restaurant.
Right.
Because we love food. We wanted to get into the food industry, and they thought instead of sending us to college, they would invest the money into a business and allow my brother and I the opportunity to graduate and then just take on a business once it was operating, so we could start making money versus paying it off. And, you know, I know college is not for everybody, and
right.
It is for some, but.
Well, I mean, that same story with me. I didn't finish college. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and, you know, look at me. I'm doing just fine.
You're doing great.
I'm sitting in an office decked with a microphone in front of me, you know?
Yeah, and a good one.
So and Marvel toys that surround me. Who's got it better than me?
You know? Doing good.
Yeah. I'm very humble about it. So, getting into that, so you had an entrepreneurial bent early on with your brother.
Yeah.
Your parents encouraged that, which I'm proud to hear, happy to hear. I do the same thing with my kids. There's a game we just started playing called Cash Flow. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
It's by the guy named Robert Kiyosaki,
who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep. Yeah. And he's got a board game. Teaches kids how to read financial statements and income statements, and it's even teaching me. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I got paid. That goes to my cash. Okay, I'm getting it now. It's, you know,
that's cool.
Never thought about it that way.
That's really cool.
But my son is starting to learn the nuances of if you find ways to earn money, you just get that much more freedom. You know,
yeah.
Well, and headaches.
And if you make $10, you don't spend $11.
Right. I'm teaching him that, look, you want something, you better put 2 to 3 times the amount away before you want to go and buy that big thing.
Yeah.
He wants like this Oculus PlayStation thing. It's $300. I said, save $900.
There you go.
Yeah. For him, it's like a mountain.
You'll get there. Yeah.
And when that happens, you're going to be so proud of yourself.
For sure.
You're that really mad at me for making you do that.
No, I think that eventually you realize that your parents are right about a lot of things.
Yeah. That only happens when you're in your 20s, though. When... You started doing this. They encouraged the restaurant business. I think that it takes a special person, much like hospice, to work in the restaurant business or own a restaurant.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. You definitely have to be borderline certifiably crazy just to keep your sanity.
It's a grind.
It's a weird group of people, but yeah, that's the way that it started for sure.
You really got to do it because you love it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you either love the people aspect or the food aspect or the adrenaline or the stress or something, but something in it just keeps you connected to it. And for me, a lot of it is the people aspect.
Just the people that work inside or the people that you get to sell to, your customers?
The people that you get to encounter, you know, the relationships that you get to establish, especially being in a place like Spring Hill,
right,
where we're growing. But at the time, you know, you have the ability to recognize a lot of people within your city. And so,
right,
you know, that's been fun for me.
Well, because of what you've done, you've gotten a pretty good high profile. I mean, along the lines of Frank over there at Grecian Pizza.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
We got to have him on. We got to reach out to him.
There you go.
Take a note. And basically, you know, just putting that flag out. So the restaurant thing, how long did that last for you before you moved on? Tell me the rest of the story.
So the restaurant only lasted about 18 months total, right, because we didn't do our homework, didn't do our research, and it wound up going under just based on a lot of circumstances that were beyond our control, and Spring Hill wasn't quite ready for the concept that we had. But the working with food and stuff was something that I really wanted to do. And honestly, if you want to know the truth of the matter, our whole family blew up after that point. It was kind of the catalyst for our whole family being destroyed. We wound up being homeless. My mom left with my little brother, just took off. We didn't know where they went.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, my dad and I were pretty much homeless for a little while after that.
And how old were you then?
I was 19.
Okay.
So
not very long ago.
It was 14 years ago. 14 years ago.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah. I mean,
once you get to my age,
everything is, yeah.
Life is like a roll of toilet paper. It goes faster the more you get to the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's gravity. Shortening the story, when I actually moved to Reno to be with the girlfriend that I had, long story, but the reality of not being able to get a job in Reno, because I was a server. I got a job as a server,
right,
staying in food to service industry, and then got to Reno, realized you couldn't be a server till you're 21. I was like, okay, well, that changes things. So wound up getting a job at Starbucks because I needed something. It was with people, fell in love with working, you know, with coffee. And initially, it was just I wanted to just be a barista for a little while. And then after being there for a couple of years, found that it was something that I really loved. I wanted to move up in the company and eventually manage my own store was the plan, because they have all of these great resources for training and this, that, and the other. But initially started as a barista at 19 or 20, I guess, mm-hmm, in Reno. And
that kind of ignited the love for coffee.
Coffee was always a thing for my family. It was whenever somebody died, whenever someone got married, when it didn't matter what time of day you went home and you put coffee on. My family's also from Utah, so at the time it was primarily very Mormon influenced, which is they don't do caffeine, so there weren't a lot of coffee shops in Salt Lake City. So one of their friends started one of the very first roasting companies in Salt Lake, and because he was in their sphere of influence, they just had coffee all the time. It was everywhere all the time, and it was, you know, just the thing to do. You got home, put the pot of coffee on. So
you guys did the coffee drinking at night?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I thought it was only my mother.
Nope. No.
My mother's like, you know, after dinner, hey, well, put on a pot of coffee for me. She was from the Bronx. And I'm like, it's 8:30. How do you sleep, for crying out loud?
Yeah. So I started drinking when I was probably 2 or 3.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it stunt your growth, you think?
Yeah, it does. Apparently, so yeah.
No, you're pretty. You're about my height.
I'm 5'8".
Then again, I started drinking coffee when I was 13. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jen, you started drinking coffee when you were 6.
Every bit of 5 to 6.
What are you? 4'9"?
Yeah.
4'10"? All right.
5'1.5". Yeah, something like that. You know.
So getting into the nature and the notion of coffee, mm-hmm, being in your family, and then bringing it out to Spring Hill. You being from here, you're thinking, well, I could probably do something out here that could make a huge impact. Am I right?
Yeah. So Starbucks allowed me to transfer multiple times to multiple places, and so I was able to transfer back to Spring Hill after my family actually got back together.
For the one that was opened by the auto place, auto parts store?
Yeah. The new one? At the time, whenever it...
The freestanding Starbucks?
Yeah, because there wasn't one here. Right. There was nothing here. This is before Walmart. This is, you know... So whenever I moved back, they were like, when there's a Starbucks here.
When did you move back?
10 years ago, something like that.
Okay, so 2010-ish, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about when things started getting traction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we moved here in 05, and I believe in 06, we just finally got a Publix.
Yeah.
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 And over on my side of town, before there was the CD Kroger, we had the, there was a nursery there.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of other little sunshine.
Yeah.
Some various sundry things.
Yeah.
So you worked at that Starbucks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you there.
Yeah. Oh, you were a regular. It's okay. You don't remember.
You
it's fine.
I do remember you. I do remember you. It was like the bridge part two. The bridge mm-hmm. church was, that was like,
that was the origin satellite. Of the bridge. Yeah. When Pastor Josh and Craig and all those guys were there, it was their weekly meeting place. Yeah.
But we had a Bible study men's group there every Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't been there in months.
I haven't been there in years.
I've been getting our coffee from the Keurig and back, so.
There is nothing wrong with the Keurig. I'm going to say that the Keurig will produce really good coffee, so.
So getting into Legacy, when did everything start, man?
Well, so I wanted to move up with Starbucks and realized that as you progressed and moved up, just an observation that I made was that people in management usually had to pick between their family or Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not me attacking them in any way. That was just an observation that I made.
Right.
It was interesting how when someone would get married or they would have kids, within a really short period of time, they wound up either stepping down or completely leaving, which made me believe that, okay, you're going to be limited on the time that you have with the further up that you go. So my crazy thought was, well, what if we made our own?
Yeah.
You know, Spring Hill at the time had no other coffee shop. We had a Dunkin' Donuts, we had a Starbucks. And I was like, this is prime opportunity for us to do this. And my wife and I, we love military, and we love, you know, the police and the firefighters and whatnot. So we wanted to be able to have something that was, we actually could give discounts for. We wanted to be able to give discounts to teachers. We wanted to be able to have something that would generate also enough that we could give monetarily back into our community.
Yeah.
We had a goal of giving away a full year's salary, which at the time was $30,000. It's probably less than that now. But we wanted to be able to give money back into our community to the local nonprofits that are already active.
Right.
And so that was the heart behind it. We want to start something where we can give back to our community in a way that we weren't able to at the time where I was working there. So.
And that's how it started in what year?
2015.
Okay.
Was the dream stage.
And that was the where you bought a trailer, a food truck, right?
I bought a flatbed trailer because we had a crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
Initially, we had a relationship established with a church that was going to let us actually open up a shop within their building. We were going to sublease from them, and we needed about $20,000 to start it, and we came in about $19,000 short of our goal. So we had a little over $5,000 total for the entire project. We didn't want to take on any debt. For one, the bank said no to credit cards because my wife and I are pretty Dave Ramsey-ish in our habits. So when we applied for even a credit card, they said no. Said you can't get a loan, can't get a credit card.
Bootstrapping.
You've got nothing but what you can generate through the community.
Right.
And so we had $5,200, and I went out and said, if I can find a flatbed, I can probably build a tiny house on it with no building experience and no tools. So it was me and YouTube and Craigslist.
Nice.
And,
you did it. I remember what that looked like. Do you still have it?
Nope. No, we wound up selling it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because with no building experience, I didn't realize the importance of insulation.
Right.
But so still, I didn't insulate it. Yeah. You know, but somebody has it, and they are either...
You got pictures of it at least, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My mom documented the whole thing in a little... what's it called? Whenever they put all the pictures and editorial notes and
Like a scrapbook.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Scrapbooking.
So you have at least, you know, you can do the old thing like you go into some of these old restaurants where they have their origins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, we're McDonald's. We started out in a food truck. And
yeah.
It's black and white. You should totally do that.
We do, actually. You when know. You walk into the store to the right, we've got the original letters that I hand cut out of cookie sheets.
Right.
Because we didn't have money for a sign. So I cut them out of cookie sheets. And we've got the original letters on the wall. And then all my original sketches and designs for the food truck.
When I worked for a radio station in Vegas, you know, it was my first time moving from, well, anywhere I lived. And it was my first big move in radio back in 2001. It was CBS Radio. Actually, at the time, it was known as Infinity Broadcasting, basically CBS. And the station I was working for was a talk station. So I'm, you know, here I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm going to the big time. It's Infinity. Going to be going to this big station that's going to do things so much better than where I was. I get out there and they're hand drawing their own freaking banners and stuff for remotes. I'm going, what in the, dude, roller banner. Did you guys ever hear it? Yeah, we don't have a budget for it. What?
Yep.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, no budget has been my whole life for the last 6 years. You know, because we started, like I said, with $5,200. And our bank account had $30 when we started. The day we started, we had a week's worth of coffee and about 2 or 3 days worth of cups and syrups and products. So when we opened up at the Tractor Supply, it was sell out, drive back up to Franklin, buy a little bit more, sell out the next day. And so it was this cycle of driving up and getting a little bit more and getting a little bit more. And that's how it grew.
Now, here's Tractor Supply. They seem to do that for a lot of local small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the snow cone guy's there now. You know, is that
every
typical
summer.
for what they do? Is that they you just talk to the manager there and he's like, yeah, shut up. Go ahead. Sure.
I don't know if it's a corporate thing. I just I went into the local one in Thompson Station.
Yeah.
Told him my heart, told him where I was at, what I wanted to do. You know,
and they let you set up.
And yeah, they said, hey, we'll give you a week to see, and if you know, if people complain or if you do anything out of line, then you're out. And I was like, that's sounds like a perfect opportunity.
They're not like, you know, hey, listen, you know, we'll let you set up in a parking lot. You kick about 15% back to us. And, you know, for that, we're going to make sure that you're protected. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to happen to your business while you're in a lot. But if, you know, you don't kick anything back, nothing's going to happen. Nothing like that?
No, nothing like that.
That was only in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, once, and Spring Hill was not ready for food trucks.
Yeah.
They're getting into that a little bit more so now, but at the time it was like, you're going to do what? You're going to, it's a what? You know, they had no concept.
Yeah. Well, there's another coffee place where we've been seeing them.
Right, it's old Burger King.
Yes.
Fully leaded. Yeah.
Fully leaded coffee.
Stevie and Jessica's place. They're cool people.
So you know them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really. Not, you know, but what's the difference between the two of your company and theirs?
Well, for one, we roast our own coffee.
Okay.
That's a huge differentiating. There you go.
Differentiating. If I invent
we'll
more
make
words.
Something up. Yeah. So we're roasting our own. They're getting theirs out of a company in Nashville.
Okay.
And, you know, they're more about like the West Coast flavors. I'm not sure what the West Coast flavors are.
They're probably
entirely, but they're doing stuff with energy drinks, blending energy drinks and things like that. Okay. And so more of a, you know, I need to go to the West Coast and find out exactly what this is all about. But, apparently they're the West Coast.
Are they from the West Coast?
Yeah. They're from Oregon. So go Ducks apparently.
I guess so. Not sure how I feel about that, you know. Us Spring Hillians and Southerners are kind of wary about the West Coast people moving in.
Yeah, that's in a separate
topic. We can discuss it right here, right now, if you want to. Is that what your problem is? Let's get into it. Josh, is your problem the West Coast people moving here? Let's just go there, you know?
No, okay. Not at all, okay. Not at all.
What is your problem?
Honestly, the not having systems.
Oh, okay.
When you work for a corporation like Starbucks, and when they've got all of these existing procedures and standards and systems and training material and all of these documents that are resources that have been built for the last, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
And they're constantly being refined and things like that. You don't realize how much you need those
right.
until you don't have them. So for me, when I was in the trailer, I knew all my own drink recipes. I knew my own standards, and it was fine until I needed to hire on help. And once I had to hire on help, I realized, okay, I can tell them everything it's my in my head, but the minute it goes from my head to their head to somebody else's head, the likelihood of it being slightly distorted and changed went up. And so that has probably been one of the hardest things. The problem is getting those systems documented and having someone who can be there to write it all down and, right. And all that. So,
well, here's my advice. Take whatever Starbucks did and do that. Wow. All right. There we go. Show's done.
There you go.
There you go. We solved your problem.
Yeah.
No. If you have you know, systems and processes, obviously adopting what Starbucks did is the first place I would start. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
At least on a smaller scale, trying to reduce it to the ridiculous. But obviously, after this kind of time, coming up with the different systems, yeah, again, being inside your business and doing that, it is tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Well, and it's more like more just not having the time to do it because you're so involved, right. You know, because of the way that we started. If we had the budget, we could bring somebody in and they could just follow you around and you could dictate everything that you're doing and create it as you go. But because, you know, you're the primary roaster and you're the primary marketer and you're doing all of the other things, you're doing all of the ordering, you're doing all of these components.
Do you feel like the business owns you?
No.
No?
No.
Well, you enjoy what you do.
I love what I do. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. It's taxing, like, but
with Jim McCarthy voiceovers, there's no chance in hell that I'm going to sell this business because without me, there's no business. I understand that. I know that, you know, at some point, you know, with Big Dot, we have to come up with systems and processes.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a line of product out now, right? It's called Octave Lighting. Pardon me. Lunch coming back up to haunt me.
2.0.
Lunch 2.0. The getting into the processes, like, we are actually what I call putting the parachute together after we've jumped out of the plane, which a lot of businesses tend to do.
For sure.
Yeah. Which is okay until it isn't okay. Mm-hmm. And you get so much volume that you have to have onboarding processes and stuff like that.
Right.
We are getting to that critical point with the Octave brand where we've got to have a CRM. We've got to have a way to, you know, conduct these conversations and train people to start having those conversations. Okay, what do we do once the quote is sent? We follow up, we close the deal. Okay, then what? You know, do we package everything up and send it out? Who's going to do that? You know, what's all the different procedures?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, in the systems that you're talking about inventory management, you know, customer information acquisition, things of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's everything. Whenever you're bootstrapping and you're, you know, that grassroots company, then you're literally doing everything. So it's not taking an existing system and kind of tweaking it.
Are you looking at the mountain in front of you and saying, okay, how do I get to the top in one leap? Or are you acknowledging, okay, I got to take small steps to work my way up the mountain?
Oh, no, definitely small steps.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, I'm a firm believer in empowering your team and giving the authority and responsibility to those people, because you can't carry it all yourself.
But at some point, it still has to come from you in terms of how to put policies and processes together.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think it was, you ever watched The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis?
Heard of it, but not seen it. No.
I think his thing is 3 P's. It's people, process, and product.
Yeah.
I think it's basically, he says, you just need to dial those 3 in for a business and you should be golden. Mm-hmm. You know, getting the right people with buy-in, processes are a huge part of it. And of course, making sure your products are right and dialed in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because one of the things that was the...
What kind of processes are you having trouble with, though?
It's not necessarily having...
Systems.
It's having problems with them existing. It's getting them documented and refined.
Okay.
Because right now, if, you know, we don't have them written down.
Right.
Some of them we do, some of them we don't. But for example, you know, who does inventory? How much of something do you have? When do you know you need to order it? And one of the challenges still is that whole budget thing where which we're going to get to the point where you have the ability to say, hey, order what we need these particular days and we'll be fine. But because of cash flow and COVID and everything else, some weeks you have it, some weeks you don't.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can really say, hey, just order this amount and we'll be okay. You've got to be like, well, we can order this amount on this particular time, wait for this deposit to hit, then you can order, you know, these other fluctuating quantities of things, but you know, things like, how do you clean down your bar? How do you make your drinks? How are you going to present your drinks? How are you going to answer the phone? How are you going to dress? What's your dress code? Because consistency is a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
Because one of my biggest pet peeves while working at Starbucks was having people come in and ask for specific baristas to make their drinks. And it's like, oh, I really want this one person to make it because they make it the best. Which I understand that people are relationally connected, so it's probably more of a relational thing. But as a barista, you're a little annoyed because you're like, well, we make it exactly the same way. Yeah. So what's your problem?
Well, maybe Elise over there is putting a little more chocolate syrup.
Right. And then that's the whole thing, is that if you know exactly how many grams of something is supposed to go into a certain drink, it gives you the opportunity to communicate that to your customer and say, hey, you know what? They make it with this amount.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is request that, and then you can create that consistency. But until then you allow for inconsistency.
Yeah.
And that's a huge deal for me for sandwiches. You know, hey, this time it was cold, last time it was burnt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge just pet peeve of mine.
Have you watched The Founder?
The Founder?
Yeah.
No, but I do tend to flounder quite a bit.
It's about Ray Kroc, the guy who basically turned McDonald's into what it is today.
Okay. Yeah.
Very interesting movie. Very right up your alley. I would totally suggest giving it a watch.
Because,
you know, they actually go over how the McDonald's brothers came up with the dance to get their hamburgers out there. Because back then, in the 50s and 60s, Ray Kroc was a multi milkshake mixer salesman. Mm-hmm. So he would sell these, you know,
machines.
Yeah, machines, six spindles on them or whatever. Right. And they, you know, it was the first of its kind. And he was going literally on the road from burger joint to burger joint, trying to sell these things door to door. And, you know, the McDonald's brothers got wind of him doing this, and the company that he worked for, they said, hey, we're going to need six of those. He's like, excuse me, did I hear you right? He's like, yeah. Six? Yeah, six. Well, actually, hold on. No, that's not right. We're going to go ahead and need 12. 12? Right. Oh my gosh, I got to see what's going on. So he takes a trip out to California where they started out, and he saw what they were doing. You know, it was, typically people would have to wait 10, 15 minutes for their order to be made. They had them within, you know, he says, there's a line. How long do you expect to wait in the line? No, the line went quick.
Right.
And all of a sudden he had his meal in his hand within 5 minutes of being in the line. Mm-hmm. I was like, how in the world does this work? So they go over exactly how they set it up. They went to a tennis court, chalk drew the outlines of the kitchen, stood on a ladder, and orchestrated everybody. So, okay, when you get an order, this is what. And that's how we see McDonald's today.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. So,
I think it ultimately for you, what's the most important process you got to figure out?
The most important process that I have to figure out.
What's the one that makes the most money and will hopefully all the other dominoes will fall into place once you get that one done? Well, I'd say first thing is to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good question because I don't have an immediate answer for you.
Because, I mean, next, once you have that list of what you need to do, then reduce it to the ridiculous. Okay, how long will it take me to check off this list of all the things I have to do in terms of coming up with processes? They don't have to be completely fleshed out, just basics, you know, just get something going.
Yeah.
You can always work on it later. You can always come back to task process number one of whatever it may be a couple of weeks from now and refine it, but at least get something in place and take a day every day out of the week. I'm going to spend 20 minutes just thinking about a process. Boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is that something you've thought of? Because I've been having stinker ideas today.
No, it's good. I have so many different things going on all the time, but it's I like to refine an existing idea versus creating one.
Yeah.
So, it's easier to see it.
And you've been exposed to the ideas. You might as well just run with them. You
know? Yeah. Well, and I know what it should look like.
Yeah.
You know, I know how long a drink should take. I know how long a sandwich should take. And so there's this driving force of, you know, how do you become the best at that? You know, you're not going to be able to make a drink in 15 seconds. Your shots take
longer. Can't you just replicate what Starbucks did?
Yes, in a way, you can within, for certain things.
Right.
Because a good system is a good system. But it will change a little bit based on the machines that you're using. And, you know, we're hand pulling shots and we're doing things a little bit differently. But yeah, I pulled a lot of information from what you know works, you know.
Do you think there's an element of, there might be a possibility of you overthinking it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. That's the kind of, I'm kind of getting that feeling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I have a little bit of a perfectionist side in me.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfection's not profitable.
No, it's not.
You know, sometimes my business partner, when we start a big dot, look, we don't have to get it right. We just got to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of power into that. Yeah. Eventually you want to get it right.
Right.
But just get it going. You know, just get something in stone that people can follow. Look, if it's just 1, 2, and 3, steps 1, 2, and 3, yeah, eventually there might be steps 1 through 7. Right. But right now they're just 1 through 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Just go with that for now.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the warehouse, right? Jen doesn't like moving things multiple times. I say, you know what? You're going to have to do it. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to move things multiple times. Mm-hmm. Even if we got to move it over here for a while so it gets out of the way over here and clears a path, clears your method of thinking, declutters your mind. Right. Move things around. Put them away for the time being to be dealt with later. Well, I don't like moving things twice. Well, too bad you're going to have to. Right?
I don't.
And
like
you know, we'll help you if you need be.
She's ducked.
And I've always hated it because in the retail world.
And what happens when it doesn't get done?
You chew me out.
No, but I don't chew you out. It's basically you. It stays there.
It does stay there. But being in the retail background, working for Publix almost 9 years as a bakery manager, it was you didn't touch it any more than you absolutely had to because productivity and efficiency was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So the fewer amount of times you had to touch something, the faster you got something done.
But guess what?
Yeah.
Publix didn't have that at the beginning. They had to develop that over time. They didn't fall into, oh, we're going to do things the Publix way perfectly. It took development over time. They're a 100-year-old company, I think, aren't they? Publix?
Just over.
Are they? Yeah, they have plenty of time to develop this.
Yeah.
Same thing with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A didn't start out with amazing employees that knew their place and knew their role and treated the customer and knew how to. That took time.
Yeah.
That took messing up.
It's a drive-thru.
That took imperfection.
Chick-fil-A is known for their drive-through.
Embrace the suck. Well, embrace the imperfection.
Well, I think that's part of my problem is that I know what it should look like and I know what it can look like.
Right.
And so as much as I want to say I'm climbing that mountain one step at a time, I think I'm doing it one step at a time, but I'm frustrated at the fact that I can't move faster.
You can't just snap your fingers and make it happen.
Yeah. Because you have to allow room for error. You have to allow room for mistakes. And when you're training people, you have to extend grace to people knowing that they're going to make mistakes and give them that safe environment to train in. Because if they don't feel safe, then they're not going to be willing to even step out and become the best version of themselves. So,
but some people just need to be led. Right?
Yes, I guess.
Sometimes you just got to tell them what's what.
And for me, I guess I don't get that. For me, I'm like, well, no, everyone should be able to think for themselves, right?
But sometimes they just don't know what to think. I mean, that's sales 101. Sometimes, you know, I sold cars. Sometimes me telling them just buy the car would sell the car. I'm serious.
Not me. I believe too much in the person should, okay.
They're placing a confidence in you. Well, if Josh tells me to do this, that's going to be a sign that I need to do this. You know, there's an
that's
element to
project,
that.
Yeah.
Part of what us being a business owners, we got to be, you know, mind readers in a way.
Because
you're also trying to create a culture, which is a blast.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, it can be. I mean, once you get people that actually are, you know, getting through the 1 through 5 or 1 through 10 people that you got to cycle through to find the one that you're actually going to stick around. I mean, that's the biggest thing. But I mean, even all the other stuff that's coming down the line that may come down the line with the paradigm shift we've gone through today with the inauguration and everything, those processes may help you with all these things that are coming down the pike because they may save your butt when you got to do what you got to do if you have to do it.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's where we're extremely blessed because we've got a phenomenal team of people, and I think we've only had one person leave, or two people leave, and it's because they've had a better opportunity to do what it is that they love to do.
Yeah,
and so that's the dream for me is to give people that opportunity to find that.
I think you almost John Warner, one of our guys here, partners. Does
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. I don't know if you'd recognize me, but yes, I do.
You know, once, you know, he's in the midst of setting up all sorts of stuff for what we're doing, but I think ultimately at some point you got to pick his brain. Would you agree?
I did. No. I did, actually. He and Paul, we sat down at McAllister's, and they pretty much said, you need to have a bigger budget. And I was like, well, I don't have the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, you got to think about, and this is a lot of business strategists will tell you, you need an exit plan.
Hmm.
And a lot of business owners go into business not thinking about, okay, what's the exit plan? Because eventually you're going to be 40, you're going to be 50, you're going to be 60.
Yeah.
And then you may be like, I'm done with this. What do I do?
Right.
You know, so thinking about the valuation of the business when it comes time to say, okay, you take it.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing you got to keep in the back of your head.
Well,
it's
I think it actually is. I think that's part of the driving force behind wanting the systems in place. Mm-hmm. Because when you have your operating systems in there, then you can step back and go, okay, I don't need to be here now.
Yeah.
Your position is defined. Your position is defined. You have, you know, all of the roles, responsibilities are defined. That means that you can hire in for those specific roles, and they know exactly what to do, what's expected of them, what's required of them. Training is in place, so you can kind of step back a little bit more and more and more.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I'm working. I mean, I've got a baby due in 2 months, so I've got to be able to. I've got to be able to get to that point.
I don't mean that as a bad thing.
No, and I'm confident. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If my wife told me that today, I'd be like, yeah.
And I'm honestly confident right now that I could walk away from the whole thing and it would function very well. So
that'd be an interesting experiment. Do you ask your employees, hey, what would you do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they? And they give you feedback and everything?
Yeah.
They're not afraid to. I mean, they're
no, you know. No. I want to create a culture where they know that their opinions and their thoughts are valued.
Yeah. See, we're hell-bent here to create a culture of, I want to hear the things I want to hear from my employees, okay?
Gotcha. Well, you look fabulous then, Jim.
Thank you.
I appreciate the fact.
I want to make sure that when I walk down the hall, I don't want any eye contact made, all right? And when I shake their hand, I'm going to tell them, hey, I'm not going to commit your name to memory until 6 months in. You got to earn that.
It's fist bumps, though, now, right?
Yeah. Fist bumps, I'm not even going to. It's going to be elbows. You have to earn the fist bump. Isn't that the right way of doing things? Isn't that how we brought you on, Jen?
What?
Oh, my gosh. She's not even paying attention.
You knew my name by the second day.
I did.
That's just...
Jolene.
That's how awesome.
See, Jen is afraid to speak up.
I'm not afraid to speak up.
She is so afraid to speak up.
Jim is one of
I've
those.
Been telling her, I'm like, hey, I'm giving you an out. I know you're annoyed with me. Just tell me that you're annoyed with me. I know I really kind of ruffled your feathers just now. No, everything's good. No, it's not. I could tell that you're annoyed. You can feel free. There won't be any repercussions, maybe.
I had to tell one of my employees, I was like, it's a good thing you don't get paid to be a liar because you're terrible at it. Yeah. I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
That's why I have his wife's phone number. We'll text back and forth. That way she can like.
Do you text with her? Really? She would tell me.
What do I do? What do I say?
She would.
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky.
I am lucky.
But yeah, Jim Mully, like.
She's a cool wife.
Yeah. His wife's amazing. But like. If he likes you, he'll remember your name. If he doesn't, I'll be like, hey, so-and-so.
Who?
Who's that?
But do you know what it is? I just don't have interaction with them.
Right.
And honestly, if you don't make a good impression, I mean, I don't know how long you stick around.
Well, but you've also been here long enough that, and you're up out there on social media and in the community where people know you.
Yeah.
So Jen had this, I had where you walk through any store and they're like, hey,
yeah.
I mean, you're like,
well, you're instantly
how's it going? And you know, and you don't remember them, and it's really sad because you want to, or at least I do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I always forget people's names.
My wife's like, did you know that? And I was like, no, I didn't.
Actually. I had the trick. I had the trick in the car business where I'd make a copy of their license and keep it just inside my pocket. So when I'd get in the back seat and they'd take for a drive and we go on a test drive, I'd be like, so Ken, what do you think? And eventually you use their name enough, you actually do remember their name.
Yeah,
You know. But I know CJ and all the people that come in here and make a good impression.
That's not many. If you can name
We're getting better. We're getting a lot more.
Maybe we should switch up from the random five to five names of the guys
put pictures in front of me. Put pictures in front of me and see if I can guess their names. Yeah, it's not because of them. It's because of me. I just don't remember names. I'm really bad at it. So here's another feature idea that we can wrap up the podcast with. I'm thinking about putting a feature in called What Did We Learn? Josh, what did you learn?
I learned that I overthink things and I need to focus on one problem at a time.
Nice.
And yeah.
Jen, what did you learn? Look at your notes. You can actually refer to those.
Ew.
Yeah.
Thank you. You get notes.
I didn't know that Josh was homeschooled all the way K through 12.
I didn't. Aware that he was homeless.
I didn't know that he was homeless either.
Yeah.
Or that he moved to Reno. But
I didn't even know he was from Reno. I learned that too.
I know Josh is an amazing person.
Yeah.
And he has a great wife with the third kid on the way.
I know.
And they are the greatest. Like, they're the sweetest little boys.
They like getting busy.
I mean,
well, what's weird is that I have a quarantine. Like, right. You know, the generation. We have generation quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have
How old are your two boys?
Asher is 6, Thaddeus is 3. And, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Same spacing as ours, pretty much. Pretty much. Relatively.
I mean, you got 3 kids.
Well,
that seems
12...
to be something going on.
What's that?
That seems to be like the going thing. 3 kids.
Feels full. It feels.
You and John have 3 kids.
A good unit.
Y'all all have like the beard and the goatees and everything. I mean,
I just had the 14, 12, and soon to be 9-year-old. So, well, there you go. Josh, how do people find you?
We're at 2547 Nashville Highway.
Give me cross streets. You're in Neapolis.
Right next to Spring Hill High School, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
If you know where Spring Hill High School is, we're just past it if you're headed south. We're just before it if you're headed north.
Gotcha.
LegacyCoffeeCompany.com. Legacy Coffee Co. on Facebook. Legacy Coffee Co. on Instagram.
Man, you got it all together. I love it.
There you go.
And, of course, we'll put all the contact information and socials down in the description. And if you're a fan of the podcast, please, please share it out. Tell a friend. If you don't like what we're talking about, let us know. Rate the podcast. Give us a 1-star. Give us a 5-star. Any rating is a rating. Check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. If you have guest ideas, if you're a business owner yourself or a professional that's got some problems you want to discuss, let's talk. Send me a message. We'll look to try and get you on. Josh, thanks for coming out here again to the compound, even though it's not much of a drive for you. And it's always a pleasure to see you in person.
Great to see you, too. I appreciate it very much.